Preamble to Deuteronomy. Commentary for the October 2nd, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 91, verses 14 through 16. Ralphie enjoyed visiting his great-grandparents' farm. He loved climbing the fruit trees and tasting the tree-ripened lusciousness. He especially loved the sweet yellow plums. On sizzling summer days, he could play in the tiny creek that ran through their acreage, floating wooden boats from one end of the farm to the other. Although they were merely twigs and bits of fireplace kindling, to him they were mighty ocean vessels exploring new continents. He also loved watering the dusty ground between several rows of raspberries, plucking the ripest berries and enjoying their sweetness as they dissolved on his tongue. The farm was also like a country boy's zoo with all sorts of animals. Horses enjoyed pasture under the fruit trees. A family of hogs had their sty on another part of the farm. These days we have garbage disposals in our kitchens for food waste and weekly curb pickup of whatever does not go into the disposal. On the farm, hogs or pigs took care of all food waste, and the animals that consumed it became food themselves, with leftovers being fed back into the cycle. As a boy, Ralphie did not understand all of that, but he loved to watch his grandparents slopping the hogs and all the grunting and squealing that ensued. There was also a flock of bantam chickens that patrolled the place, protecting the crops from bugs and small rodents. They also contributed to the food chain, supplying eggs and chicken meat. Occasionally, a cow was fattened and butchered in the barn. While some vegetarians may be offended by this, it is how life in the country was lived for thousands of years. Those living in the cities tap into the same food loop. The farms produce more than they can consume and make possible much of the food, including the burgers, fried chicken, and pepperoni pizzas, in the cities. Even the veggie burgers and soy wieners would not be possible without the farms. Along with the farm livestock, several feral cats and their offspring kept rodents at bay, a task also shared by many garter snakes that were often seen sunning themselves on boards or rocks in the summer sun. With so much to see and do, Ralphie was rarely bored. His imagination was free to explore and play wherever he wanted on the farm. Although he did not know the words for it then, the farm was an idyllic Eden that was a refuge from living in town. His grandparents warned him of only one thing. To keep the livestock safe, they had installed an electric fence around the pasture. While it was not there to endanger him, he would still find it painful if he touched it. This seemed a minor restriction, and Ralphie was always careful around the fence. Next to the farm was a public elementary school with a playground. Although the school closed during the summers, Ralphie could hear children playing there sometimes when he was playing on the farm. One day, as he was floating his boats in the creek, he was surprised to look up and see an older boy watching him. He had apparently come through the fence between the farm and the school. He came over and asked Ralphie what he was doing, then asked if he could float boats also. For a while, they both had fun sailing navies down the creek, but eventually the older boy got bored and suggested they wander about the farm and find something else to do. When they got near the fence, Ralphie warned him not to touch it because his grandparents had said he could hurt himself. The older boy laughed and said, "Nonsense. He had just come through the fence from the school. You can touch the fence. It's okay. Your grandparents just do not want you to enjoy the entire farm. If you touch it, you will see." "But," Ralphie objected, "but nothing. Didn't I just come through the fence? Go ahead." Trusting his new friend, Ralphie reached out and grasped the wire. The jolt knocked him off his feet. His friend just laughed. At that moment, Grandma, who had been watching through the window, came out and the interloper ran off back to the schoolyard. While Ralphie struggled with confusion, feelings of betrayal, and newfound wisdom about life, Grandma tried to comfort him. She reminded him of her love and care for him, that she wished he had not had the jolting experience of the electric fence or the betrayal he had suffered. That was why she warned him. She reminded him that although the experience had changed his relationship to the farm, his grandparents' love for him had not changed. They would continue to care for him and warn him of dangers as they arose. But no matter whether he took those warnings seriously or not, their love for him would not change. Some may recognize this story as like the Garden of Eden experience. Although Ralphie's story is true, there is a moral depth to the experience that goes beyond any literalness. Our lesson this quarter is based on a great controversy between Christ and Satan, but it might also easily be called, like Charles Dickens' novel, A Tale of Two Cities. From Genesis to Revelation, two cities vie for supremacy. Babylon, a city identified with confusion and opposition to God, through the confusion of languages at the Tower of Babel, was founded by Nimrod, a man obsessed with setting up a kingdom on earth. His kingdom, which stretched across the Euphrates and Tigris rivers, was often at war with the Israelites. The other side of that conflict is represented by Jerusalem, meaning City of Peace, and referred to by the Israelites as the City of God. At the time of the Israelite exodus from Egypt, it was a Jebusite city. The Jebusites were descendants of Nimrod's uncle Cush, and therefore Nimrod's cousins, several times removed. Nimrod set up hereditary authoritarian kingdoms. It was the power of those kingdoms that caused Israel to want to cast aside their theocracy in favor of rule by kings, as they saw modeled around them. They saw others touching the forbidden fruit and thriving. Though God had led them from Egypt, and they had defeated the occupants of Canaan, it was not enough for them to feel secure when faced with a new threat of the Philistines. This pattern repeats throughout history. Do we trust for our security in the force of arms that we are able to muster, or do we find refuge in the strong tower that God supplies us with by his presence? Now as then, most put their trust in the weapons they can obtain. They believe, like Chairman Mao's Problems of War and Strategy states, political power comes from the barrel of a gun. It does not help that because of our willingness to trust others for our safety instead of God, that we find ourselves in trouble with this kind of thinking. When that happens, our enemies are quick to point out that God has failed to protect us, like the friend laughing at Ralphie's misfortune. The electric fence, which was meant for good and erected for the protection of the livestock, becomes an evil structure built to limit our freedoms by an arbitrary and capricious God. Unfortunately, some who claim to be God's people are using every means, from political power to weaponry, to force their political will upon people. Inevitably, those who trust in armaments will make use of those arms, not for self-defense, though they may claim that, but to impose their will on their opponents. However, this is a method of Nimrod and Babylon. Jerusalem stands for not only peace, but freedom. As the capital of those who escaped from four centuries of slavery, it is a fitting monument to freedom, both now and ultimately with the Parousia. As we study Deuteronomy this quarter, some will want to portray God's character as being more like that of Babylon. They may want to impose and enforce laws they find there. They will not see those laws as a loving fence erected for protection, but as a hammer to hit others with who do not give in to their willful manipulation of God to control the activities and, if possible, the thoughts of others. Those tempted to do so would do well to read Paul's letter to the Galatians. The gospel message is not about imposing heavy requirements on others. It is about freedom and the joy that freedom provides. As we go through Deuteronomy, let's look for that God. He is surely there and ready to be found. This may require the exercise of a faith hitherto unfamiliar to us, but as the writer of the powerful faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, wrote, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Thank you for listening to this commentary. You may find the scripture footnotes supporting the thoughts expressed in this commentary at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You may also find hundreds of other commentaries like this in written form and in podcasts. May God richly bless you and your family.